for it to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me tonight in the... Are you a guest or are you a guest co-host? You brought songs, so that kind of makes you a co-host, but you're also a guest because you're going to promote some stuff. You know, I'll just call you both, guest co-host.
Tony. I mean, that's the least of me. I'm so many things.
Tony Thaxton, how are you doing, Tony?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Pat?
I am good. I'm wearing Invisalign.
Oh, okay.
Which whenever I tell people that, they go, I can't even tell. I go, because it's invisible.
It's part of the name. Yeah. It's right there in the marketing.
Sometimes I take it out when I record.
Is how long have you had them?
3 months and 1 week.
And how's that going for you?
Good. I had just like a space in the bottom that was getting bigger as I get older. And then it started to have like a space on the other side of that same tooth. And I didn't want to have hillbilly tooth. Like that one tooth that's just like, you know what I mean? There's space on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, my teeth are great.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
It was right in the front too. So
I'm the opposite. I should have had braces when I was a kid.
Let me see your teeth.
It's not spaces. It's some overlapping here and
this
there.
This will do the trick for that too.
Yeah.
Let me smile. Give me a smile.
Now you're making me paranoid.
Come on. It's fine. Now I can't see the bottom teeth. Your teeth look fine too, though.
Yeah. It's kind of these front guys. Yeah. But there's this. Yeah.
It's the thing. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this.
Yeah. That's kind of, I feel like someday.
Don't do Invisalign because this is actually Smile Direct Club. But I call it Invisalign because then people know what that is.
Right.
It's like when you say, hand me a Kleenex.
Yeah.
Invisalign was going to be $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Smile Direct Club, $1,800. Much more doable.
Yeah.
So I'm not throwing out, you know, I'm throwing prices out like I'm a big shot, but I'm not. I can't afford.
By the way, when you first said, because the reason you said Invisalign, I've never heard of Smile Direct Club. And
yes.
But the way you phrased it at first, I thought you were implying like this is your new podcast, the Smile Direct Club.
Maybe. I'll only have people on that are wearing some type of an apparatus in their mouth.
Well, I'll get the hell out of here then. I get what you're saying.
Now, normally I would take it out when I'm recording, but today I left the house and I forgot. I was cleaning it and I left the house and I wasn't going to be back for 4 hours. So I had it out of my mouth for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't have it out of my mouth. You're only supposed to take it out when you're eating.
Okay. So you even sleep with it?
Yes.
How's that? Do you notice it much anymore? Or are you used to it now?
I don't. Well, I don't. But the first couple, you put a new one in every week.
Okay.
And when you put that new one in, sometimes that's pretty tight.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to like snap it in. There's these things that they're like, did you ever see like a swimming pool noodle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's like that, only a size that would fit in your mouth.
Okay.
And you kind of bite down on that to make sure that it's, what do I want to say, in tightly on the top and bottom.
Uh-huh.
But I like it because I know that it's working then.
Right.
When you snap that new one in, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
This is working.
Mm-hmm.
So. Huh? Is this too much tooth talk?
No. Well, I think really what you're doing is setting up the fact, because Motion City is going to do a tour next year, and we have a song called Perfect Teeth.
Oh,
and I get what
I
you're
doing that, but I like that. I like that. Motion City soundtrack. You guys are going back on the road in 2020.
Correct. Technically starting on the New Year's Eve of this
New Year's
year.
Eve?
So, yeah.
And where will you be playing New Year's Eve?
That is in Chicago, but that one's already sold out, so don't even try.
Will your lovely wife be able to join you for New Year's Eve, or will you be spending the holiday apart?
That is the plan as of now, is for her to come and join, yeah.
What's the venue in Chicago, even though it's sold out, you can't get in, don't even try?
The House of Blues.
House of Blues, uh-huh. Still in Chicago?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's one of the, I like that House of Blues, too. That's a, it's an especially nice one. It's one of the bigger ones, I think, too.
You now you're just bragging because it's sold out and you said it's one of the bigger ones.
Yeah, it's sold, you know. No big deal.
Who decides that you go on tour? Is it the singer? Is he the guy that says, yeah? I always think the singer has all the power.
I mean, it was kind of
like
just,
you can't just book the tour.
Oh, of course not. Nobody listens to me. I think all of us were just kind of open-minded to doing a little more. Like, we're not necessarily trying to have it take over our lives or anything like that. But, you know, it's not been a crazy amount of time. But by the time it happens, it'll have been not quite 3.5 years, but almost.
Yeah.
I think you know, it gets to that point of you know, we did that farewell tour, and then
so did Kiss.
Exactly. They did a few more of them than we
did. Yeah, they did.
I think we all just kind of, you know, started doing our own things, and I think got to a point where just like, I don't know, it kind of came up. I honestly don't know how it came up. I don't remember, but it was just sort of like came up as a discussion, and everybody was like open to the idea.
Do the guys all live in Southern California? Are you guys on a conference call? How does this work?
We're all over the place because I'm here in LA. Our keyboard player's in New Jersey, our bass player's in Portland, Oregon, and the other two guys are in Minneapolis.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, how many dates?
It is a little over a month long. I don't know what the exact number is, but, that's all that's in the books right now.
Is that, for that month, do you get a day off in between, or is it every day? Is it one of those?
Oh, no, there's definitely days off. We tend to, and this was kind of always the case for us once we kind of started figuring out how to do it, what worked for us. We usually won't do more than, like, 4 shows in a row is max, and even that's kind of rare. It's usually, like, 3 in a day off, just because... our singer especially it could be rough on the voice to do that many in a row.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is what's a tough market for you? Like a market where you're like, you got to really hustle to sell the tickets.
You know, we're lucky that people seem to show up most places.
Fans
that
everywhere.
We come, but at the same time, you know, there are some cities that for some reason just don't quite do as well.
Right.
Like for some reason, and again, this isn't a slam on the city, but I can remember like having tours where in the past where like literally every date would sell out except Phoenix.
Oh, I hate that city. No, I'm kidding. That's weird.
Yeah. And I feel like, it was kind of always one of those. Phoenix, that's what comes to mind, kind of.
If the show's not sold out, is there... do you want to really kill it when the show's not sold out? Like, do you want to really, like almost like, look what these people missed by not coming out? Or do you just play... You just play 100... Every night.
Yeah, I try to.
All right.
Because, you know, you try, and I'm sure some nights you don't quite get there, but you try to. Because that was a big thing for me when we did the, quote-unquote, farewell tour, that first night especially, and then the first several nights, but that first night especially, thinking, like, how, like, fun and, like, kind of emotional that felt. But then in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, we still have to do this like several months still.
Right.
But I tried to remember that, yes, that's the case for me, but the people seeing the show, this is probably the last time.
Yeah. It could be their first time too.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's the, you're on the road, you guys in a bus, are you sleeping in a hotel?
We will be on a bus. Yes,
on a bus.
Uh huh.
You get to choose your bunk. Where are you at? Where do you like?
Yeah, I'm. We'll see, because I weirdly always used to be a top bunk guy, which is actually most people don't like the top bunk because it can be a little bumpier.
Okay.
I think I sort of liked it because I think I liked not having anyone above me. Like having this weird fear of like, for some reason, the bunks come crashing down or something. Like there's no one's gonna fall on me.
No one's gonna crawl in there just for fun.
Yeah.
Because it's a process.
Yeah.
Is there a belt up there? Like, is there a seatbelt that belts across you while you're sleeping? Like,
there probably should be.
Like a gurney?
No.
There should be.
Yeah. And that's the other thing with sleeping on the top one is if I never have the closest I ever came to falling out of the bunk, because I have heard of people that have done it. And it sucks because they're pretty high up. It's not a short drop. I never straight up fell out of it, but there was one night on tour that, so when you if you have to get up in the middle of the night or whatever to get out of the bunk, you kind of have to stick your hand across the aisle, like, uh-huh. and kind of like use the bunk on the other side to like, you know, pull yourself down.
Maneuver down, Spider-Man style.
Exactly. And so I'm doing that in the middle of the night, and my hand that's on the other bunk slips.
Oh, God.
And then I basically slide through the curtain of the bunk below, which is where Jesse, our keyboard player, was sleeping.
Well, hello,
and
I just
like crash into his butt. My hand lands on his chest, and he just is dead asleep. Yeah. And then suddenly just wakes up.
What happened?
Obviously, that would scare anyone.
Tour's canceled. The drummer broke his arm. The keyboardist had a heart attack.
Yeah, pretty much.
Set list wise, gonna some surprises, different songs from the last tour.
I don't know yet. We honestly haven't discussed it yet. Okay. I'm sure.
You're months out. That's true.
Yeah, we're gonna start doing some rehearsals. I think in October we're gonna do a few different trips for some rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And so we'll figure it out. But we also will on the farewell tour. We kind of, this was sort of a regular tour thing that we did, but we sometimes will we'll have like kind of a core on that last tour. We had like kind of a core set list that we did, but then there were like two songs that we would like swap out every night, and it wasn't necessarily always the same. Ones that would get swapped in, like we'd really kind of mix up that slot.
I like when bands do that, especially if they come and, you know, they play a city, they play two shows in the same city. If that happens, I mean, then you might go, oh, I'm going to go again tomorrow night. You know,
yeah,
there's going to
exactly.
be a couple of different songs.
Yeah,
do me a favor, just tilt your mic up to your mouth, just tilt it back. I'm not going to edit this part out. I just leave it in. I could like have motioned to you, and then you'd be like. What?
Huh?
What? I think I just that's more awkward. Hey. But I'm not gonna
edit this out.
Just
keeping it real, man.
I really only edit if when we're done, if you text me and go, Pat, that part about the microphone, I really would like you to edit that out.
I understand. As a person that produces shows for other people, I'm not a fan of the over-editing. Some people are just a little too.
No, this show is as it is, unless someone gets up and goes to the bath. Sometimes when someone gets up and goes to the bathroom, I'll just keep talking with whoever else might be here. And
yeah, I think
it is what it is.
That's one of the things people like about podcasts.
I hope so. Yeah. The immediacy.
Yeah.
Speaking of podcasts, you have a brand new podcast, Bizarre Albums.
Correct.
With Tony Thaxton, or starring Tony Thaxton?
Well, I just call it Bizarre Albums. My name is in the artwork there, but, we can just call it Bizarre Albums.
I listened to two episodes today, and I want people just to, I'm going to play, let's hear a little of your intro of your podcast.
All right.
He got his own self-titled ongoing comic book.
Hey, what
That's
happened
not
there?
The intro.
That's not the intro.
Hi, my name is Tony Thaxton. Like anyone else, I love a great album. But I also love those strange albums that might make you wonder how and why they even exist. But I'm not here to make fun of them. I'm here to celebrate them and tell their story. This is Bizarre Albums. Today's episode, The Archies' self-titled debut album.
Now, did you write that music there?
I did. That's all me.
That's
literally
all
every, with the exception of the artwork on the show, I'm doing every single thing.
After listening to this today, and I know Ron Dante is the singer of The Archies, did you know that he produced like all the big Barry Manilow albums too?
Yeah.
So I, yeah. On the way here tonight, I listened to a Barry Manilow album.
Nice.
Produced by Ron Dante.
Yeah.
I saw Ron Dante at the Canyon Club about a year and a half ago. He was part of Flo and Eddie the Turtles. They do like a, they bring like, a, you know, Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night and the Cow Sills and Ron Dante and a couple different people. So, yeah, he was good.
Nice.
He's a...
Yeah, the... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm fine.
No, I was just going to say, that episode that I did on that first Archies album, I was aware, obviously I knew Sugar Sugar like my whole life, that's actually on the
Everyone
second
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, I never knew until like a couple of years ago, like the backstory of like that it was literally a cartoon band that wasn't a real band, and then so... But the point that I had with that was that that record is honestly, like, it's pretty good. Like, yeah. Those songs are, they're just good pop songs. Like, in, you know, a lot of these ridiculous albums that I'm getting into, that's the one so far that I've been like, I would kind of listen. I don't mind this record. Like, I would listen to
it. Those songs could be Bay City Roller songs. They could maybe be Partridge Family songs. They could be, you know, any number of things. Yeah, they're just... You know, because it is, it's just musicians. It's really not cartoon characters.
Yeah, right, of course. But it's just like so many times, if that is the, if it's, you know, written for a cartoon or something like that, it's not necessarily good.
Right, right, right.
But this one is like, oh, these are actually pretty good songs. Yeah.
I actually think the Scooby-Doo theme song's very good.
All right. Set in your top 10 of all time?
All time songs.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
By anyone. Uh-huh, yeah, sure. Yeah. So how did, now the episodes are just about 15 minutes long, which is, it's not a big commitment for,
So, which has been like luring people in, I think.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
So first of all, go listen. I listened to the Archie's episode today and I listened to the Bruce Willis episode, which is just, it's ridiculous. And I had that album.
Oh yeah. I was weirdly into it when I was a kid. Yeah.
Cause at one point I was, I would say that I was a huge Bruce Willis fan, but as I've gotten older, I'm like, no, I just kind of like Die Hard.
Yeah.
I like Moonlighting too at the time.
Uh-huh.
But it was, he doesn't have a lot of good movies in the catalog.
No, and also he just seems like so pompous. Like even like some of the clips that I play of him like early on when he was still kind of like becoming Bruce Willis, like he already was like super pompous.
Yeah. Some of the clips. And then I forgot that there was a, what's the album called? What's the Bruno album called?
Return of Bruno.
Return of Bruno. I forgot that that's like a fake character and that they're, you talk about it and play clips from. It was an HBO special.
That's everyone is in.
Yeah.
The cast list is insane on that thing. Like every like legendary musician appears in that mockumentary.
Who did they owe a favor to? You know what I mean?
I know. And what's even crazier too is that like, yes, Moonlighting was popular.
Sure.
But, like, that's still pre-Die Hard.
Yeah.
Like, so he's Bruce Willis, but he's not Bruce Willis
at that
point. Yeah. It's pretty insane.
It is. It's nuts.
The 80s, man.
When they gave a guy like that, they always got a two-album deal, too. Because, like, Don Johnson has two albums, and Bruce Willis has two. It was always it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I guess it sold, though. It went platinum, didn't it?
Gosh, I can't remember now. I definitely say whether it did or not on the episode, but now I'm blanking if I did. It's been a bit since I did that one.
It's a terrible album cover. It's not a good picture of him. He's like smirking, but it's not like a. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's something like and also like even that one. Like, look, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that album is good.
Right,
but there are worse things out there too.
Sure.
Like, it's not the worst thing in the world.
It's not Shatner.
Yeah, right.
All his albums, I like to say, they're a piece of shat.
Mm-hmm.
One, those have to be coming up soon. Eventually.
Oh yeah, it's definitely on the list. What's been fun is that I already had like made myself a big giant list of things I wanted to get to, and then I say on the episodes if anybody has any suggestions of something you want to hear me cover to email me and let me know. And people have been doing it, and like that list is getting enormous.
I told you one that you said you didn't know existed.
Oh, yeah, you brought up Chunky A, right?
Chunky A, the Arsenio Hall character.
Yes, which I don't... it's crazy to me that I don't remember that, because I feel like that, again, that's kind of why I'm doing this show, is because I love weird, ridiculous stuff like that.
Also, not that it's ridiculous for someone to have a Christmas album, but Billy Idol has a Christmas album.
And
it's not great.
I have heard some of that, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, this is a great podcast.
Thank you.
Again, bizarre albums. Now, this is we just talked about editing and production. There's a lot of production value on this because you make it like it's like a mini 15-minute documentary about.
Yeah.
And you do a great job. Everything's good. You're good.
Thank you.
The clips are good.
Thank you very much.
The sound was all good, too. It wasn't like if you played a clip, it wasn't like muddy or anything. Everything was good. Did a good job. It seems like a labor of love and a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely taking it very seriously. And, that is like it's kind of bringing the two things that I really like together, music and podcasts. And I take both of those things seriously, even though these are kind of on like kind of somewhat ridiculous subjects. But I'm. Again, as I say in the intro, I'm not trying to make fun of these things. I'm really just like like, just like, this is a weird thing that happened in music, and I'm doing a ton of research on them, and then just trying to tell the story of how it even came to be, and then kind of go into the record a little bit and finding all these crazy connections of who worked on these things and like how many legitimate, like, good people worked on these crazy albums.
And you don't have to like or dislike what the album is. That doesn't detract from the entertainment value of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, thank you. When, I appreciate that.
When I used to, when Bob Costas used to have an interview show, and do you remember that? You're
later
than me. Yeah, later with Bob Costas.
Oh yeah, I was a big Letterman nerd as a kid, like from a weirdly young age. So I would still be up and watch some of that as a 10-year-old kid.
I would watch it no matter who his guest was, and a lot of times he would have sports guests on, and I'm not a big sports guy, and I'm like, okay, Tom Landry, all right, I'll see what he has to say. I loved every episode. I was always intrigued because he was a great interviewer. He asked good questions. The interviewee was entertaining, so get into this podcast.
Bizarre
albums. When does it drop? New episodes drop when?
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. Yes.
Do you have a bunch in the can now? Are you ahead?
I can't really say that I'm ahead. I have at least the preparation done, but I have not recorded all of the things that I need for it yet.
Because when you go on tour, you're going to have to record all those and post them all.
I know.
Because and then promote them as you're on tour. You're going to get up and do that. I got to tweet.
Yeah, I know. The promoting part would be fine. But the thing is, I genuinely love making these and putting them together. And like,
you have to love it. If you're doing a podcast, you have to love it.
Yeah. Like, it's to the point where, and I've had a lot of other things going on lately, to the point of where, which is good, because I like keeping busy and I need to pay rent and things like that. But also a lot of times I'm like, I kind of just want to work on this. Like, which is good, because there's not many things that do that for me. Yeah. Like, really is like, it's like, very rare that I get totally sucked into things.
There'll probably be times when you're normally would be tired at that point, but you're like, it's late, but I'm going to do some of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get that juice going.
Yep. But that's what Lenny and the Squigtones will do for me.
Oh, I can't wait.
That's what happened. That's what I was doing last night.
What does, I also sent you that Donnie Most had an album.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's terrible.
I have not done any research on that yet. No, but
you can buy it on Amazon. You can find it. So where are we? Tell us where we can find you on Twitter for this thing. Sounds like we're wrapping up or not. We have a topic we're going to do.
I just
wanted to get all the promotion out up front, and then we'll talk a little bit at the end too. But because that's why I wanted you on. I wanted to be able to help support this
and
promote it.
I appreciate it. So
where can we
much.
Find you on Twitter, yourself and the podcast?
Me on Twitter and Instagram is at Tony Thaxton, and then the podcast is at Bizarre Albums on
Perfect.
Both Twitter and Instagram.
You got it.
And I'm trying to make the social media, particularly Instagram, I think with the podcast, I'm really trying to make that fun. I'm not going to say interactive, but like really I'm pulling a lot of just ridiculous photos that add to the thing and like even like video clips too of some of the things that I'm playing on the show, then like adding the video clips
that
to
helps.
The Instagram and all that. Yeah.
I like when there's a picture of you holding the album, but I bet you can't always find a copy, right?
I know. That's definitely going to be a problem at some point.
And you don't want to spend money either. You don't want to buy a Chunky A, $30 copy of Chunky A just to hold it. You know, you could probably go to a record store, and if they have it there, just hold it and get your picture taken, like at Amoeba or wherever.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think. Well, but on the other hand, though, most of the information that I need for research I can find online, but sometimes there are these things, like if you get the physical copy and get the liner notes and stuff, sometimes there's things that I don't see online.
Take a picture of it.
Yeah.
You go to Amoeba, you find Chunky A, you take a couple of pictures with your camera.
Because I guess this information would have been eventually found online once I delved in, but I hadn't done any research yet.
Yeah.
But again, this episode hasn't come out yet, but it'll be soon-ish. But I'm starting to write the Lenny and the Squigtones episode, and I found the record at Amoeba. And honestly, way less than I thought. I don't even know if it was $10.
Oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
That's not bad.
And like, I wasn't even going, I knew it existed, but then I kind of stumbled into it and I was like, all right, great. And then I got it home and I open it up and I pull it out and there's a band photo. You may know this fact already.
I don't.
But, there's a band photo and, not only is Christopher Guest in the band and actually plays on the record.
Wow.
Credited as Nigel Tufnel.
Wow.
And this is pre-Spinal Tap.
There's a little tease of the fun stuff you'll learn on Bizarre Albums. I wonder if you would be able to chat with Michael McKean a little bit about this. I wonder if you tweeted at him. And he's pretty good on Twitter.
Yeah, he's great. That would be amazing. I know. I haven't done any of that yet,
right,
of like reaching out to people, but I do. The show is I'm very pleased with how it's been going, and people are reacting to it. And I think like eventually I would like to attempt to start reaching out to some people to talk to. Yeah.
And again, it's on iTunes. It's everywhere.
Just everywhere.
Google Bizarre Albums, Tony Thaxton, and you'll find it.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all that
stuff.
The
whole deal. Yeah. The whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get you here tonight, we had to figure out what a topic would be. And I just remembered that you're a big Huey Lewis in the News fan.
Yeah.
So we were going to do something else. I don't even remember what it was now. But I was like, let's just do Huey Lewis. And you're like, oh, great. Perfect.
Yeah. I love weird music. And I've loved Huey Lewis since I was a kid and never really stopped.
And the catalog's not extensive. 9 studio albums.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're only talking about the first 7 because the other two are kind of, they're covers albums, aren't they? Both the last 2.
I know at least one of them is. I'm not positive about another one.
I'll look later.
Yeah.
I think the last 2 are covers albums.
Yeah. They had a bit of a weird career.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. It was skyrocketing and then plummeting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll get into it.
Okay. So first up, let's tell who these people are. See, Huey Lewis, vocals and harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
And then the classic lineup is Chris Hayes on lead guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cola.
Yeah, it looks like Kala, but if you watch videos of Huey introducing the band, he says Cola.
Johnny Cola, rhythm guitar, saxophone.
Do you want me to impress you by going down the lineup without looking?
I'm not looking. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Do it.
All right. So you did. You said Huey, and did you say Johnny, and that's it?
Huey, Chris, and Johnny.
Okay. And then we got Mario Cipollina on bass.
Who's he got kicked out of Shanana? Is that what happened?
Which, as a kid, when I was into them, I was always like, "What is the deal with this bass player? Because he seems so out of place." But now, as an adult, going back, I'm like, he's kind of the greatest. I love him so much because he's
always had the smoke hanging out his mouth.
I saw them back in 1988, and like he like wouldn't move on stage. He just stands still in like a leather suit, sunglasses, cigarette in his mouth. So, anyways,
2 more people,
and then we got Sean Hopper on keyboards and Bill Gibson on drums.
And a lot of these guys don't look like they should be in a band.
No, they're kind of just like.
Like the only guy that really looked rocking to me was Chris Hayes because his hair was spiky. He was real skinny and he's a great guitar player.
Yeah. And as a kid, he was the one who, like I thought he was like the cool one.
And Huey Lewis has always looked like a 40-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
Like he never looked young. Like even, I don't know how old he was when the self-titled album came out.
Yeah,
I'll find out. That came out in 1980.
I think he may have already at least been in his 30s or at least close to it. Because I think, you know, he had been around for a bit already.
Okay, he was born in 1950 and that album came out in 1980. So he was 30.
Yeah.
All right. But he seemed older than 30 for some reason.
No, I think about it because I do that all the time now when I watch old things that I watched as a kid watching like live performances of them and just going like, I'm older now than he is there, but he still seems way older to me.
That's like a thing that a meme that people always make, but I saw it again the other day. It was with Lenny Kravitz and it said, Lenny Kravitz is older right now, or else the same, maybe the same age as Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon. I mean, and just like, but that's not, doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley was 80 in Cocoon, wasn't he? No. I saw them in 82.
Oh, wow.
Open for Loverboy.
Wow.
And they, Huey Lewis News, were great. They were so great. I mean, they were, and I've never seen them again, but they were like, they came out like, oh, we have to really prove ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to really rock.
In a way, I think, because I think they're like a legitimately great band. Like everyone in that band is a great player. Mm-hmm. And they with the exception of the bass player, they all sing. And like, they, you know, they're a rock band, a huge rock band playing that literally became one of the biggest rock bands in the world. And then, like, in the middle of their shows, they would all come up front and do an a cappella song or two. and it would sound
right.
incredible.
Yeah.
But they always sound perfect. Like, if you go back and watch some live videos of them, they sound flawless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got Huey Lewis and the News from 1980, self-titled album. It's like a crazy band photo on the front.
Yeah.
It's not a great cover.
No. It is very...
It's a white background, and they're just... It's like... I don't know. It's like nothing. It's like...
It's pretty cheesy. Yeah.
It's pretty cheesy. And what song do you... I'm going to let you start. What's your first tune off of the self-titled album?
The first one I went with, I believe, is actually also the first song called Some of My Lies Are True.
It's great. And there's a video for it.
And it's not great.
Not great. It's, but the song's great. Great song.
It is. That that first record is a lot different. I think most people haven't heard the first record.
It's not hard. It's not easy to find.
Yeah.
You can buy it, you know, digitally.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's never been one that people know. They might know this song because of MTV. Might.
Yeah. It wasn't like a huge hit, or there was not really any huge hits off this one. Mm-mm, but it's, and it's a lot more... Almost like new wavy, kind of a bit.
Yep, skinny tie, kind of.
More like the Elvis Costello thing, which I know has been said a lot, but I think it's people get it wrong a lot. I believe Sean Hopper, the keyboard player, plays on the first Elvis Costello record. I think it's just him. I think a lot of people say it's a lot of the News, but I believe it's only him.
Yeah, it's not quite Elvis Costello in the News.
Yeah.
What's my first song off of this album? What do I got here? I would have picked that one, obviously, but you got it. So I've got a song called Don't Make Me Do It.
Nice.
A girl like you is never wrong. Someone like me can't be too strong. I know you always get your way.
This album also lacks production value. It's kind of thin. It's kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. But at the same time, I don't mind it so much because it's at least, because some of that, you know, 80s stuff sometimes gets a little too 80s here and there.
I understand
this is still
that.
Kind of like, they probably, I know it came out in 80, but I'm assuming they maybe recorded some of it in 79. So it's got a little bit of that like 70s sound to it, kind of, to me.
It's, and like we said, it didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like this nowadays, first of all, a 30-year-old fronting a band of all nerdy white guys wouldn't even get a record deal.
That can play their instruments.
Let alone having the first album flop, basically, and then go, all right, well, what else do you got? I mean, that's how it was back then, luckily.
Yeah.
For Huey Lewis and the News.
Yeah.
What's your next song?
My next song, by the way, that was a great choice. That would have been one of my others.
The whole album's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For my other one, and, I went with Don't Ever Tell Me That You Love Me.
She said, don't ever tell me
April Richardson hadn't left for England, she would be here tonight, obviously, because she's a big fan.
That's right. Yes. She and I have nerded out on Huey a little bit before.
She's disappeared from the face of the earth. She's on Instagram.
Yeah. I see those Fox updates every now and then.
Yes. Yeah. But no, no Facebook, no Twitter.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Yeah.
I had to actually tweet at her husband yesterday and say, hey, tell April that we really miss her a lot. And he tweeted back, I'll do it right now.
Nice. So, she's great. Yeah.
She is great. So maybe she'll come back in 2020. my next song is If You Really Want to Love Me, You'll Let Me. If you really want to love me, you'll... That doesn't roll off the tongue for me. If you really love me, you'll let me. Well, that kind of sounds rapey. Doesn't it? Now that I
do. Huey.
All right. Times were different.
I'm no fool, and I won't be cheated at night, too. I know you think that I'm screwed. But what about me? What am I supposed to do? Just stay home. Stay home and watch TV. If you really love me, you'll love me. You always try to upset me.
Ah, okay. If you love me, you'll let me go.
There you go.
All right. Not rapey at all. Everyone's good. Everyone's good.
I want to add that I was torn on picking Trouble in Paradise, because I feel like that is a good song that's on this record, but I actually, there's a live version that
Have that later from the We Are the World album.
Yes, and I prefer the live version, honestly, than the studio version.
Yeah, I agree with you. So we'll hear a little bit of that one. Right.
Sorry to give spoilers.
Fine, it's fine. now, the next album, this is a tour I saw them on.
Yes.
Picture This. This is my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
I love this.
It's great.
This is so great. And far and away so much better than the first album.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, but I guess...
It's them kind of becoming what they became, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And they self-produced this one, too, so maybe they knew something that... I think the guy, Bill Schnee, sounds like a made-up name. He produced the first album, Schnee.
That's right, I think. Yeah, didn't they produce everything themselves after that first record?
That's always amazing to me that a new artist, the record label says... Oh, yeah, go ahead and produce yourself.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But hey, worked out, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it worked out.
Yeah.
So Picture This. This is always weird to me, too, when the singer is on the cover.
With nothing, just his face up close. Yep. Not a good photo either.
No, like, no. And it's try to make him look young. Try to airbrush some stuff. I think the band's on the back, but it's, like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers or some album covers where Tom Petty's just on the front.
It is a weird move.
I guess, I know, I don't feel like it's a good move.
I would be curious to hear the other... I'd like to hear the news's thoughts.
They'd probably have a headline or two for us. Hello, hey. News. Terrible. Okay, Tony, what do you got from Picture This? You actually have three songs from Picture This.
I had to put a little bonus in. Well, I'll get to that. But
I took three songs, too, that are different from yours because was having such a hard time choosing.
Yeah, with a lot of these I did because there are a lot of songs I like on all these records.
Yeah.
What I will say is I feel like I also want to defend myself a little bit because I feel like a lot of my picks are kind of obvious ones that were singles, but like, I feel like with this band, like they got the singles, right? Like they were singles because they were the best songs.
And some of these 10 song albums had six singles. Yeah. So am I supposed to choose the other four just because I want to seem cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. The deep tracks are better.
Yeah, it's in the end. So this is where that starts for me. So working for a living. Come on.
Sunday morning ever, and Sunday's passing by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week.
So when Huey Lewis opened for Loverboy, they were working for a living, mm-hmm. and Loverboy was working for the weekend. Everyone was working. I saw them at the Johnstown War Memorial. That place was a pit.
Is that back in Pennsylvania?
That's in Johnstown, PA.
All right.
My first song from Picture This is Change of Heart.
I know it happens almost every time. I also know that nothing lasts forever. So now you want to go and change your mind. Forget about the time we spent together. Do you think that I'll shoot myself when you tell me that it's over? You say you've had a change of heart. You better think it over, baby. Cause if you ever change your mind,
yeah, the production's just so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's full. It's a little thicker,
for sure. And that song's kind of almost reminds. It's kind of like a bridge between that that first record and this one. I feel like it's like somewhere in the middle mm-hmm. of both. Yeah,
yeah, I like that one a lot.
It's a good one.
What's next for you?
I the obvious choice, but I think this might literally be one of my favorite Huey Lewis songs of all of them. Do You Believe in Love?
Written by Robert John Mutt Lange.
That's right.
Producer. Famous producer.
But co-written, right? He didn't completely write. Didn't they write it with him? Or am I wrong about that?
According to Wikipedia, this is he wrote this by himself.
Oh, all right.
Mutt Lange. Here we go. What a great pop song.
It really is. And those backing vocals are so good. They don't even sound human. They sound too perfect. And that's like, yeah, it's not auto-tune.
No, it's
not.
Those
are just guys.
No, it's the guy. One guy's not even singing.
Right?
That's just five of the six guys.
Mario ain't doing nothing.
Nope. Smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if he's still with us.
He is, I believe, yeah. He's not in the band anymore, but...
No, I think, though, the band right now does have Huey and... Three of the original guys are in it.
Yeah, it's Huey, Bill, the drummer, is still there. Sean, the keyboard player, is still there. Johnny is still there.
Yeah.
I believe that's
yep, the... Yep, that's it. And then, yeah. And then whoever's on guitar now.
Yeah, and a different bass player. And then they like have like some touring horn guys now that I think they officially consider part of the band.
Gotcha.
Which they used to always so much have the Tower Power horns mm-hmm. touring with them. And when I saw them, they had them.
That's nice.
Awesome. And by the way, on the Picture This note too, there is... if anybody wants to nerd out on YouTube, there is it's about an hour long concert that was shown on MTV's. Just Google like Huey Lewis Live MTV show or something. And, it's so good. It's because it's from this. So
yeah,
it's like,
I mean, that's when I saw them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the same thing when they do, Working for a Living, they have Tower Power playing with them and it's so good.
And they would do this thing where, it would be Huey and Chris and I don't know who the other guy was, but they would like do this. Like back and forth mm-hmm. dance during Working for a Living. I did it for Tony. He's impressed.
I got you.
But my next song is Hope You Love Me Like You Say You Do. I pick these real long song titles that I can't read.
A lot of love in all these titles, too.
I know.
What does a girl like you see in a man like me? Just cause I love you, baby, don't think I'll be just what you want me to be.
nice bass line in this.
That's one that I believe kind of stayed a little bit of a live staple after after this record, which I feel like it was only kind of the singles, and I don't think that was a single, to my knowledge.
I'm not sure if it was or not.
Yeah.
Is Huey back singing right now? Because
I'm not sure where that stands.
He's having some vocal problems. But
It was hearing issues,
actually. It was hearing was what
yes.
it was.
Okay. I forget what it's called, but it was some sort of disease that... was affecting his hearing.
Was it deafness? Is it deafness? Is that what it is?
It was something along the lines of that he could hear things, but there was...
Cauliflower ear.
There you go. That's it.
What were you going to say? Is it mid...
Meniere's disease or something
Meniere's.
Like that?
And that sounds like a lovely restaurant in France.
Right.
We have to go to Meniere's.
But what I've heard is the description is something along the lines of, like, he can still hear... But there's something that, like, he can't find notes, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's something that could go away, but it also might not. So, I don't know where that stands now. I also may have gotten every bit of that wrong. But
we're not experts. We just like the music.
Yeah.
We don't know everything about them.
What am I, an ear, nose, and throat guy? Come on.
No. You beat things for a living.
Exactly. I don't know anything.
You want to play your next one?
I genuinely like this song, but I just wanted to add it because this was a song that I revisited as an adult, and there is just such a ridiculous moment in this song that made me laugh so hard when I revisited it the first time that I just wanted to play it.
And we're going
to
hear it, right?
Yeah.
The song is called Tattoo, and then in parentheses.
Oh, right.
Giving it all up for love.
Yeah, I forgot it. It was also called Tattoo.
This was written by Phil Lynott of Thin Lizzy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Huey were friends.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Huey toured with them some back in the day.
She's got a silver armadillo.
Why?
I have no idea.
Now that's a moment where... Maybe the label should have said, maybe a producer on this song. But I like the song.
Yeah, I like it too.
It's a great song. I just don't know why that moment happens.
I'm going to play Phil's version.
Oh.
This is from his solo album from 1980, Solo in Soho.
I didn't know there was a recording.
Yeah.
That's great.
Official. It was on his album.
I'm so excited right now.
I'm just taking it from the top. I bet that's Huey on. I bet
might be.
Yeah.
She comes home at 5:30, and though her clothes are never dirty,
just made my day, Pat. I had no idea this existed.
Enjoy it.
She likes to keep her name. She's giving it all up for love. She's giving it all up for love. She's giving it all up for love. She's making all the money.
Pretty great.
Cool. Yeah. I'm so glad to know that exists.
She's giving it all up for love.
I like when they say tattoo in there.
She's giving it all up for love.
Cool. Yeah, there's some tasty drums in here.
Yeah. That was Mr. Lewis on harmonica.
Oh, yeah?
I looked it up.
That's awesome.
Cool. I'm glad I did. That's fun.
Yeah.
I had another one, too, off a picture of this. The Only One. Then we've literally played almost the whole picture of this album.
He was always the toughest kid, but he never meant no harm. But looking back, I can see his face.
was tattooed on his arm.
I like a story song.
Mm-hmm. More tattoo talk again.
A lot of tattoos.
Either love or tattoos. Or both.
There to be seen. He and little Janie.
The News is not a tattoo band.
No.
Dies at the end of the song, right?
I don't know.
I think he does. Hold on. We'll find it.
It's a good chorus.
I think he dies at the end. I might have gone too far. Past it.
He's already dead.
He might be dead right now. This is at the funeral. Very disrespectful. And then with their instruments, a guitar solo at the funeral.
Mr. Hayes, please.
Okay, here we go. Oh, here we go.
In the middle of the freeway.
Oh, yeah, oh. He's dead. Here we go. He's definitely dead, Tony. I'm so sorry.
I heard about the accident. There's not much left to say.
Man, I don't remember this part.
He wandered out in the middle of the freeway. It must have happened right away.
Okay, he rhymed way with way. And
I thought about what a shame it was. Now that it's all said and done. And it may sound strange.
What if that song made you cry? What if you're like, that chokes me up a little bit.
I was like, I didn't really remember that one. And in the hearing of like the chorus, I was like, yeah. And then you played that last part. I'm like, oh, maybe not.
Right. That last part ruins it. It really ruins it. All right. We're moving on to, now I want to see if I can find out what the album sales were.
Huge.
Picture this goes gold in the U.S., which is good.
Yeah.
You know, that's strong.
Especially considering what that first one did. Yeah.
And then the next album goes 7 times platinum.
Just monstrous.
How does that happen?
It's so crazy.
Sports.
Like, yeah, and by the way, the album is called Sports.
It's called Sports.
Which I think is so hilarious.
Like, I think Lunkheads might have just bought it because they're like, hey, man, those guys like sports. I like sports. Again, Yui, the cover's not great because Yui's like right up front. Yeah, it's like he's superimposed. It's like he's not in that photo.
Yeah. It at least the other band members are in
they
it.
They are. But if Yui, here's how he's not in that photo. If he was in focus, the rest of the photo would be out of focus.
Right.
Because he's so far up in the thing.
Yeah. The like the band is actually just like a backdrop.
Yeah. And I think the bass player is behind the bar.
Yes,
I think he's tending bar, which might be what he does now.
Maybe so.
All right, Yui, this is gigantic. This is such a big album.
This is where it gets like especially hard because this record was a monster. And again, I think it's 9 songs on the record, and I think 6 were singles.
Yeah, the problem is this album is so overplayed that I almost still can't listen to it sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, it's
I understand
like,
that.
Like picture this wasn't like that, so
right.
I can still. Pull that out
and
listen to Johnny get killed in a car accident. Okay, so what do you got first from Sports? 7 times platinum.
Again, it was tough. So many good ones, but I went with Heart and Soul.
Good tune.
A huge song, but I feel like maybe this is one of the ones that, like, you don't hear it, like, you'll hear some of the other hits more than you hear that one still.
Yeah, it definitely. Let me see where Heart and Soul went to number 8 in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah, it went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 big singles. Okay. There were six, but five charted.
Yes. Was the other Walking on a Thin Line? Was that the like kind of the single that didn't?
Finally Found a Home didn't chart. Walking on a Thin Line at number 18. And then Heart and Soul, number 8. Want a New Drug, 6. Heart of Rock and Roll, 6. If This Is It, 6. I would have thought that there was a number 1 out of those.
Yeah, I would too. But still, that's impressive.
That's an impressive
run. For a 9-song record?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Speaking of Walking on a Thin Line, I have it. I like that one.
It's a great one.
Here we go. This was written by outside writers, too. This is not an original.
I didn't realize that either. I knew it was about Vietnam. Yeah. That's the one thing I knew about the writing of that song.
Andre Pessis and Kevin Wells were the writers on that.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's 9 songs, and 2 of them, well, one's a Honky Tonk Blues is a Hank Williams song.
Yeah.
That closes out the album. Yeah. That's probably usually, I probably didn't listen to that one.
Yeah.
I probably stopped after number 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You don't need that one.
That's not my cup of tea.
No, me neither.
As Paul F. Tompkins would say, actually makes me hate tea. It's one of my favorite jokes, Paul F. Tompkins. We're back to Tony.
Boy, this one, again, it was hard, but like this one felt like one I had to go with. This like just makes me think of being a kid watching a lot of MTV.
Yeah.
If This Is It.
How long would you sit and watch MTV?
Oh, hours.
It was insane.
Yeah.
I can't even, if you didn't live when MTV was a music channel, you don't know what we're talking about, and it's very difficult to explain it to people, that it was just videos, maybe a concert, maybe an in-studio interview with someone. These VJs would just introduce the video.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to, you know, Love Touch by Rod Stewart, you know, whatever. But yeah, you would just, you would wait.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to see a band that you like, their video come on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they would world premiere stuff coming up.
Oh, yeah.
The world premiere of the new Huey Lewis in the News video, If This Is It. Great tune.
So good.
Also, this is a band that the videos were so overpowering in my memory that it's hard to not see them when I hear this music.
Picturing that red shirt. He's got that red, like, polo shirt kind of.
Yeah, that was his look, man. Like a black jean and a polo shirt. That's a rock star back then.
Yep.
Look at that dude. He's a rock star.
Uh-huh.
Where are we at? Oh, okay. I went with another... non-hit, not to be cool, but I do like You Crack Me Up.
That's interesting.
You really, really do. because all the other ones were so played to death that I gravitated to this one. Because yeah. it's fast. It's, you know.
It's definitely the best of the non-hits. Not yes. that there's that many to choose from. But, no. As far as those go, that is the best one.
And you know that this album was successful because it was 3 years until they did another album.
Yeah.
They were 80, 82, 83, and then 86.
Yeah. It's crazy. It was hard for me to, hard to pick because they're all good. I want a new drug. I was real close to picking that, but yeah.
Were you, I want a new duck. Our friend Weird Al Yankovic uh-huh. put that one out.
Uh-huh. Which, also lifelong Weird Al fan. And it seems like, that's like the perfect thing for me. Yeah. But not my favorite of the Weird Al catalog.
Do you have a favorite Weird Al song? Like right off the top of your head, can you pull one?
It's a weird one.
Let me hear it.
But I do really like Hardware Store.
Okay.
I love him, but I like when the original songs he does a lot,
yeah.
And that's one of those where it's just like the vocals on that song are incredible. The vocal arrangement, there's just so many crazy harmonies and just overlap.
I don't even
know
if I know that one. I'm gonna have to go listen.
It's insane.
Find that one. What album is that off of?
It is on. Oh man, now I'm spacing. Maybe Poodle Hat.
Let me see if I have it.
It's definitely from the 2000s, but I'm spacing.
It's
now.
From Poodle Hat.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. My iTunes catalog is pretty vast. Let me see what we have.
I would skip a little ways into it. It's all about the chorus, which I don't. I can't wait. Yeah. Here we go. I can't wait. Listen to this vocal arrangement in this chorus here. Here we go. It's insane.
I love that you had one, though.
What's yours?
This is mine. And you're a huge Star Wars guy.
Yeah. This is up there, too. Bubbles all the time like a
giant carbonated soda. Yeah, when I first heard this, I'm like, that is genius.
Mm-hmm. I remember my parents taping him playing this on Johnny Carson and showing it to me the next day.
That's so great. Was he dressed as a Jedi?
I don't think so. I think he was just in his normal Hawaiian shirt gear.
It's Yoda, by the way, people.
That song is
wondering.
Has really, like, I mean, it's been around forever for me, but it's really, like, came to prominence a lot in the last, like, 2 years for me. I have performed that song in various different...
You have?
Yes, in various different ways, one of which included Weird Al and a bunch of other people.
Wow.
But, yeah, and I just played it again last weekend. Jonah Ray just put out his... album is EP of like mm-hmm. punk versions of Weird Al songs.
And, is that Weird Al approved?
Yes. but yeah, they're not like just straight up covered. They're like, he literally like just wrote different songs, but then put Weird Al lyrics to them.
Gotcha.
And Yoda is not on the EP, but we did it at the release show that we just played. But anyways, getting off track. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I like getting off track sometimes. By the way, I said that there wasn't an album for 3 years, but there were songs,
mm-hmm.
including their number one single.
Yeah, maybe the biggest.
Yep, from a movie that my parents walked out of. I'll tell you that story in a minute, Tony. Still fun. It's still great to hear.
Yeah.
And then I'll play was this at the end credits, back in time?
I believe it's in but it does, there is a point when Marty's alarm clock goes off and it's playing on his alarm
Marty.
Clock.
Marty.
Chris? Doc? Is that... Where are we going this time?
Definitely not as good as Power of Love.
But I still like it a lot,
though. I like it, too, but... Oh, 1999 seemed like so far away.
All I wanted to do was play my guitar and sing. So take me away, I don't mind, but you better promise me I'll be back in time.
The kind of double meaning there for back in time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even the title Back to the Future is so... It's really cool. It's really like a great title, perfect title for a movie.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. So here's why my parents walked out. Everyone is seeing Back to the Future in 1985. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Biggest movie. Everyone's going. So my parents decide they'll go. Now, 1985 was how many years ago? 34 years ago.
Jesus, that sucks, doesn't it?
My parents are you good with math? My parents are 82 now. So how old were they then? 82 minus 34.
I mean, I do have a calculator in my pocket.
How bad is that that's what we have to do for this?
I mean, I never claimed I was good at math.
They were 48.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, so my parents were 48 years old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's 7 years younger than I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So they should have been... They could see Back to the Future.
Yeah.
They come home. I go, I thought you went to see Back to the Future. Oh, we did. I go, look, it's, what are you doing home so early? They're like, oh, we left. I'm like, what? And I'm just like dumbfounded. I'm like, why did you leave Back to the Future? So I would have been 21 then. I'm like, why did you leave Back to the
Future? You had already seen it at this point.
Oh, yeah. I probably saw it a couple times. Yeah. I can probably remember who the people I saw it with.
Yeah.
I said, why did you leave Back to the Future? And my mom goes, oh, he goes back in time and he falls in love with his mother. That could never happen. That's what she said. That could never happen. Oh, the Time Machine movie could never happen.
Also... How doesn't much? Fall in love with his mother.
No. Well, that's my mom, though. She gets everything wrong. And how little joy do you have in your life that you can't enjoy this fable, this fairy tale? Plus, my parents grew up in the 50s, so they would, you know, you think they would have liked it? Unbelievable.
And that is a movie that, like, it's very rare to find someone that did not enjoy that movie. That is a
let
pretty universally loved movie.
Let alone walked out on it, walked out of it.
Yeah. That's
oh my
that's
God.
Impressive.
That's how I grew up. I'm not sure, and I don't feel like looking it up, but I'm not sure which came out first, the Back to the Future songs or the We Are the World soundtrack album.
That's a good question.
I'm not sure. I think We Are the World came out afterwards, and because of Huey Lewis, they were so hot. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is the live version of Trouble in Paradise, a song that appears on the first album.
Billy's home, he just got back from L.A. A penny of lines, but nothing to say. Said I've seen this movie in a dope in ice. Looks like Trouble in Paradise. He used to be cool, he used to laugh.
So he was at the We Are the World session, right? He was in there, right?
There's a
that's another bite in the ass for the band.
Yeah,
they're not there.
No, they are there.
Are they?
Yeah, they are.
All right, you would know.
Yeah, that's another given more homework for people. Another YouTube thing to look up is like the We Are the World kind of outtakes or something. There's a great like 5 to 10 minute clip of that section of We Are the World. Them rehearsing with Huey, Cyndi Lauper, and is it Kim Carnes?
Yes,
is
I think so.
In that little section right there, and it's them running that part and like trying to
cool.
get it right. And it's so fun to watch all these and like Michael Jackson's just kind of like hanging out in the background and like chiming in here and there. And like you see Daryl Hall and Kenny Loggins just like sitting on a step behind them, just hanging out and just seeing all these huge people. Just
Dan Aykroyd got in there somehow,
yeah, right?
How are you, Dan? I'm not Dan. I'm Elwood Blues. Let him in. Put him in the back, though. Okay, so here we go. For another sports reference.
Yep. And also the fourth record.
Fourth record, spelled like four.
Yeah.
And three guys get on the cover.
Well, and then the rest were on the back.
Because
it was like one big photo.
But it wasn't a gatefold.
Was it not?
It's not. I don't remember it being a gatefold, which is weird because then, you know
what
I mean? Yeah.
Well, I think maybe I can't remember now. Did the cassette show the full photo?
I think
photo?
The cassette showed the full photo. Okay. Yeah. Because you would see it horizontally.
Yeah.
Like a widescreen movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the album that it wasn't a gatefold was very strange to me.
It is weird. Yeah. But yeah, this record also not as huge, but still pretty huge. A lot of hits on this one. Let me see what we got.
Three times platinum. It's hard to follow up. I mean, seven times platinum. Only Def Leppard and Bon Jovi have done it, I think.
Well, and they followed the seven times platinum record with their first number one single then.
Well, that's true too. You're right.
But no, I'm not saying that as in you're wrong. I'm just saying.
You're right, Tony.
I just mean as like. They just were massive at this point. And like, yeah, to put out that next record, like it still was huge, but
And they do get, there's two number ones off this album.
Let's see. Stuck With You.
Yeah.
And
the other one it's like, you won't guess it. I don't think.
Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
Jacob's Ladder.
I did pick it and it doesn't seem like it's a great song, but it doesn't. Yeah. Feel like a single the way the other songs feel like singles.
It doesn't, again, kind of like I was saying about Heart and Soul, like it doesn't seem to have like the staying power, like you don't hear it on
like Hip to Be Square went to number three. You would have thought that was number one and Jacob's Ladder was number three.
I would agree.
All right, here's Stuck With You from Tony's List.
We've had our doubts. We never took them seriously.
Turned seriously into a seven syllable word, by the way.
I know.
We thought about
giving up.
We could never stay away. We thought about breaking up. But now we know it's much too late. And it's no
Wikipedia tells me that the European, Australian, and Japanese versions had The Power of Love slotted in at the number eight track on this album.
Oh, really?
As a bonus, I guess.
It is kind of surprising that. I guess that wasn't happening as much.
No, when a song was on a soundtrack, you had to buy the soundtrack or the single to get that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of cool, though.
That'd be another, since that was the first number one hit. Power of Love, that is.
Yeah.
So that'd be like a fun trivia question of like what band's biggest hits or first number ones were from a soundtrack in one of their albums.
Yeah, I bet a lot. I bet there's a lot.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I know at least Aerosmith, right? Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Yeah, definitely.
That was their first number one after all those years.
I just realized Bill Gibson, he couldn't go by Billy Gibson because that's the guy in ZZ Top, isn't it?
Isn't that Billy Gibbons?
No, I'm dumb. Well, you do host a music podcast now, so.
Oh, yeah, just me. No one else in this room.
No one else. No one else in the world.
Nope.
Damn, I'm mad. But I'm not going to edit that out either. I will not edit that out. Okay.
It's all right. It's a common mistake. I'm sure it happens all the time.
Nah, I doubt it. Okay, Jacob's Ladder.
Great song.
Written by Bruce Hornsby.
Right, I forgot they were friends, yeah.
And John Hornsby. Probably a relative.
Probably.
Now he's trying to save me, but I'm doing all right, the best that I can. Just another fallen angel, trying to get through the night. Step by step, one by one, higher than higher. Step by step, run by.
is a great song, but it still doesn't feel like a single to me. It opens the album, and that feels like a good slot for that.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't have like a, I don't know.
I get what you're saying. I like it a lot, but yeah, I get you.
Because the other singles have so much of, what do I want to say? I don't want to say tricks, but you know what I mean. They have, everything's just, you know, perfect kind
yeah.
of. Yeah. To be a single.
Yeah. I remember a weird thing about that with the video for that song was just a live performance. Like
yeah.
it was like a, like the audio and everything is live.
Yeah.
And but they were so damn good live mm-hmm. that you almost couldn't tell. The only reason you could tell kind of was because the intro was longer. Mm-hmm. Or it's just the band and then that verse starts and it's just instrumental. And Huey just like casually walks out on stage and the crowd goes nuts.
Ooh, polo yeah. shirt. The some of the videos back then, some of the artists were not great at lip syncing to yeah. their own track. Like Dancing in the Dark is Bruce's lip syncing that. It's not that, not real good.
It's been a bit. I'll have to revisit that. Yeah.
yeah. Okay. You've got Hip to Be Square. This video was cool because they had like a fisheye
yeah.
camera. It was kind of frenetic.
Yeah. It was weird.
It was good though. Yeah. Here we go.
I find this song to be somehow like super dorky and awesome at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get it. Four songs in this have outside writers.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I guess I've not paid attention enough to the writers on a lot of these songs.
I guess when you're getting that producer money, you might not care that much about writing all the songs yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Because they, I mean, it's produced by Huey Lewis and The News, so they must have all had shared producer credit money.
Yeah.
Right. So that 7 million albums. That's, I'm sure that, who's the bass player?
Mario Cipollina.
Cipollina. I'm sure he's fine. Tenenbaum now. I'm sure he's fine. You would hope so, though, right? You would hope.
I would sure hope so because, they were, they're, again, a point of the 80s. Yeah. They were the biggest band.
I chose I Never Walk Alone as my.
Ah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Real good one.
A feel good friendship song. I like that.
Yeah, I think this one as a whole, maybe the more I think about it, this might be the one that has the most, like, even the deep, they're my favorite deep cuts on okay. this record, I think.
Yeah, that one was written by a guy named Reed Nielsen. I don't know who Reed Nielsen is, but
From the Nielsen family.
The Nielsen family.
Yeah.
Good job, Reed. All right, now the next album.
Well, before that, real quick, I just want to say this was the era that I saw them.
Oh, okay.
And I saw them, I would have been, I think I was 10.
They must have been at an arena headlining, right?
Yeah, it was at, because I grew up in Michigan originally, right on the state line of Indiana, and we lived near Notre Dame, so I saw them play at Notre Dame.
Nice.
And at the, like, arena at the, at on the campus. And, yeah, 1988.
Must have been jammed.
Huge. And then, and it was great. And for the encore, randomly, John Fogerty was in town and joined them on stage for a song.
How does that happen?
Apparently, I found out later that John Fogerty's wife, at least at the time, I don't know if they're still married.
They are still married.
From that area, apparently.
Yeah, they are still married. Like, they're like, what do I want to say? One of the longest rock and roll marriages. Yeah, they've been together for a long, 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 long time.
All right. Yeah, there you go. From the South Bend, Indiana area.
There you go. All right. Small world.
Yeah, this is when it starts to decline.
This is not good. I mean,
it's got some okay stuff on here.
I only picked one. I really, seriously, I'm just like, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
I don't mind this album cover though. Huey throwing up a small, tiny globe.
Once again, just Huey though.
Just Huey though. They went from band being on the cover and now we're back to Huey again.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the, how did they?
I don't know. And then this is when they start declining, you know, sales-wise and success-wise, back to, you know, and it's just Huey on the cover.
And you know what? I mean, it went platinum, but I don't
know. Did it still go platinum? I'm surprised, actually.
Gold in the UK, which I don't know what that means numbers-wise.
It was a different time.
In the US. Went to number 11 after having two number one albums. Just went to number 11. Still good.
Yeah.
You could get a number 11 album. That's... can't complain about that.
No. Most people would be thrilled for that.
And it says the song... Did you pick Perfect World?
I did.
It goes to number 3 in the US.
Yeah, this was like a little bit of a hit. Definitely not to the level of the previous records. But and I do like this. This one, I'm cool with this one.
All right, here we go. Perfect World. Everybody's looking for the perfect world. You can have that.
I do like this change here.
Yeah, I like this song. Mm-hmm. You picked it, so I couldn't pick it.
I'm sorry. Again, it was a tough record.
Outside writer on that song, Alex Call.
Hmm, man, they wrote... so much less than I realized.
What song did I pick? This was written by a couple band members with a guy named Jeffrey Palmer. This is really the only... I mean, I like Perfect World. And this is really the only other song I like. It's called Walking with the Kid.
Yeah, I remember this one.
Going out on Sunday afternoon. Because it reminds me of a picture of this a little bit.
Yeah.
That album. That one again. It's kind of a story song. I'm a sucker for those for some reason.
Yeah. And shout out to Bill Gibson, the drummer. He's a very underrated, very subtle drummer. Like, I feel like the average person hears these songs and doesn't really think twice of the drums, but if you really focus it, he just does a lot of like really nice little subtle things that I really like.
And again, the band doesn't look like they're... it looks like a band that you go to a high school event and some of the dads are playing.
Oh yeah, some especially him, I think.
Yeah, some of the dads have like
80s glasses and
spikes the hair a little bit, but it's mullety. But
yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it's just so funny. But those guys, you know, sold upwards of probably 15 million albums easily.
Yeah.
Okay, your next tune is...
My next tune, yeah, again, this is when things, even as a young kid listening to this, I was not as into this record, but
yeah.
This one, for some reason, I always found this song kind of fun, and this is called Old Antones.
Pour mon coup de jolie fille.
Cheesy, but it's fun.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
And again, given it's slim pickings on this album, so
yeah,
it's so that one, yeah, that one passes a muster for me. What Hard at Play.
Yeah, it gets even tougher now.
See, I like this one better than Small World. I do.
Interesting. I had a hard time with this one.
All right.
I forced myself to pick a second one on this one, and it was, and we'll get there.
All right. Well, you took let me get some Six Stooges. This goes gold.
Really?
It's 1991. The people have not given up yet.
Interesting. Yeah, they made it into the 90s.
With a gold album.
I would not have guessed that, once again. But the first one I picked, like, it was a hit. But yeah, again, not to that level of other songs. Do we... you have some info there. So yeah, the first one I picked was Couple Days Off. How high did this go?
Let me find out. Let me look it up on the singles.
Yeah, I think this may... This might be the only hit on this record, I think.
Went to number 11. I mean, that's not shabby at all.
No.
I mean...
Especially, like, let's see,
one of the songs I'm going to play is in the top 40. It's in the top 25, actually.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, you also got to keep in mind that I'm not positive the cross was happening at this time, but... If it's not crossing over, we're knocking on Nirvana's door right now. If we're not already crossed, you know.
Sure.
So the fact that it went that high.
Let me see when it came out. This came out in January of 91.
Okay, so yeah, Nevermind would not have been out yet.
Yeah. Let me see. Is it still the same lineup?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Everyone's there. They bring from the first album. They bring Bill Schnee back in to help. With the, you know, they go, you know what we need, Bill? We need to sound like an amateur unit again. So could you bring that back to us? All right. You got a couple days off.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, just can't wait, no.
It's a very, like, opening credits of a movie song, even though I don't think it was.
No. It even sounds like an 80s comedy movie title, A Couple Days Off.
Yeah.
Oh, they get in some trouble, I bet. Shenanigans. That was written so the audience could yell that out with you. But they never did, because they probably played very small venues. I went with the other song, went to number 21, the other hit. It Hit Me Like a Hammer.
Oh, right.
Co-written with Mutt Lange and Mr. Lewis.
I forgot about this. I thought this was on Small World.
I don't like to worry about no one else.
Seems to have the traditional Huey Lewis in the News elements.
Yeah.
Me like a hammer.
On this album, 5 of the 11 are outside writers.
Wow.
So again, just under half of the songs have been written by outside writers. I'm not against it. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. I like this. This is the kind of information that I thrive on.
Now, the next song, I'm not going to tell the title, but your next song was co-written with Nick Lowe.
Really?
Yeah. Hayes Lewis and Nick Lowe.
I did not do research on this, and I'm just going to say right up front, I did not pick this song because I thought it was good.
You picked it because you had to pick another one?
I thought, like, I didn't remember this song. I was just kind of skimming through, and I was like seeing if any of them like rung a bell. And this one, I was just like, what is this?
Well, here we go. Do you love me or what? Oh. This doesn't sound like Nick Lowe or Huey Lewis.
No. It sounds like...
Putting my system in.
This sounds like
bad Oingo Boingo.
Yeah, this is like... This would be in like Weekend at Bernie's 5 somewhere in a montage. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's just... This is just... Again, this makes sense of like this is when things were declining and it's like...
Big time.
What was happening here?
I do like the album cover, though. It's the band jamming, but I think... Is Huey the only one you can see, though?
Yeah, I don't think you can see all of them.
Of course not. Why? Well, then he gets all the blame for this one. You see what I got? What was the other one I picked? Because I had to go through it just like you, and I'm like, oh, let me see what... So the song's called Best of Me, written by Bonnie Hayes, Kevin Hayes, and Annie Stocking. I don't know who any of those people are. I don't even remember what the song sounds like, but I picture. Let's see what it is.
I've been trying to forget you, girl, since you put me down. I hear you working on the same thing, too, all over this town. But we ended that time.
I feel like these last two records are like where they start kind of sounding like what they look like.
Yes. Yes.
You will see. True, I wanna be to you. You know you always get the best of me.
Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
They weren't really hard at play.
No.
That's I have a couple more songs, but I wanna say the next, I don't have a song off the next studio album, which was in 2001.
It's crazy.
So 10 years.
10 years.
And by that time, it was just Lewis, Cola, Gibson, and Hayes. And Sean Harper.
Wait, no, wasn't... There's a record before this, isn't there? The Covers album?
Time Flies the Best. No, the Covers album comes...
Four Chords and Several Years Ago or whatever it's called. Isn't that from like 94, 5
or
something?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, this came out in 94. Four Chords and Several Years Ago. For some reason, I thought this was like a live album, but no, it's a covers album.
Which I think there was a pseudo hit on this. I don't know how much of a hit it was, but I think
I know we don't have it to play.
It's all right. Or is it called just It's All Right? Which is funny because they also cover later, But It's All Right.
She's Some Kind of Wonderful. She's Some Kind of Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Went to number 44.
Really?
So if that's a hit for you, then okay. Top 50. Then the next one they released was called But It's All Right. That
yes,
went to
that's what I was thinking.
54.
Of. Okay. I would have guessed that was the
And then Little Bitty Pretty One. Boo. Didn't chart. All right. And then after that was Time Flies the Best Of. And I guess they had one new song on that, which was called 100 Years From Now. We don't know. Who cares? And then they had an album called, in 2010, they had an album called Soulsville. And I picked this song just because it was on the Bruce Willis album. It was the hit from the Bruce Willis album. This is
Respect Yourself?
The News doing Respect Yourself.
If you disrespect everybody that you run into.
2010, though, The Voice still sounds good.
Yeah.
If you don't give a heck about the man with a Bible in his hand, just
That's it. That's Respect Yourself.
I'm more of a Bruno guy, but you know.
Certainly. Everybody is. Well, thank you for being. I do have a play out. I'll play. Well, I'll let you know when we're going to play it out.
All right.
But all right. So let's do it again. We got a Motion City Soundtrack Tour happening in 2020.
Yes, correct. That is.
And then I predict after that maybe new music.
You know, we're open minded at this point.
Trying to get an exclusive.
There's no official plans for anything, but we're all kind of like. We'll see.
Yeah, you guys get along. Maybe get along, babe. Getting along. You know, hey, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Why not call up Rick Ocasek again? Get him to come in.
Yeah, that won't happen.
Get him to come in and just tweak your demo.
You remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember. and then we got your number one project right now is a Bizarre Albums podcast.
That's my baby at the moment. Yeah.
And you're also drumming for. For your lovely wife's band, Tiny Stills.
Yeah, there's a brand new Tiny Stills song that is out now on all the streaming things, and then we have that's from a split EP that's coming out toward the end of September. But the first song from that is available now if you do the streaming thing. So yeah, there's a new Tiny Stills song.
What's the song called?
It's called Oh Boy, I'm gonna butcher it because it's actually a cover of. So the split is with a band called Odd Robot, and we did a thing where we each covered one of each other's songs, okay. And then we each did an original song. And this that's out now is called Schadenfreude.
Hold on a second.
And it's a cover of their song.
Lots of Rock Solid fans, big fans of Tiny Stills now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they really, seriously.
That's great.
I'm not even making that up.
That's great.
I love this. The single cover for this that I'm seeing on iTunes, it's kind of like the $6 Million Man when they had the robot people on and the front of their face would get cut off and then their head would be this much bigger because they had the apparatus on the
right.
The makeup would make them. Anyway. But so they call this something now when people... I do your song and you're going to do my song. What's it? Is there a name? Isn't there a name for it?
I don't know. Not that I know. We're just calling this a split EP.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's a split.
Yeah.
I thought that's what the kids were calling it. No?
I'm sure.
All right. That sounds good, though.
Yeah, so that one's out now. The rest of it comes out, I want to say, I should know this off the top of my head, but I don't. I think it's September 21st or something in that ballpark. Late September, we'll say that.
You can go buy that song right now on iTunes.
Yes.
Tiny Stills Schadenfreude.
Something like that.
I think I might have said it right.
And then also, I'll just throw this out to you. I also play drums with Don't Stop or We'll Die, and we have a bunch of tour dates coming up. I'm going to be in... This is coming out next week, right?
I'm going to drop this as a bonus episode on Monday.
Okay, yeah. So very soon, on September 12th, we're playing in Brooklyn, and then 13th and 14th in Philly, and then we also have some dates coming up in October in Chicago, November in Portland and Seattle. So come watch me play some very dumb, silly songs.
I've seen Tony play drums live, and I'm not kidding. He's an amazing live drummer.
You're very
in the
kind.
Studio, not so great. But an amazing, I was blown away. I thought you were really amazing. I always gravitate to watching the drummer, and yeah, it was hard not to take your eyes off of you. Well, you're good looking.
No, that doesn't hurt.
You're cute. Right. You're easy on the eyes. The ladies were looking.
Now we're talking.
But no, you're really great.
I'm really a fan.
So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Continue success with Bizarre Albums.
Thank you very much.
If I think of any more, or do you not want people to send? Do you want suggestions?
I literally say it at the end of every episode.
You
please.
Do want it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's fun when I get ones that I had no idea about. You know, I'm definitely getting a lot of repeat suggestions,
right.
But every now and then some come in and I'm like, oh, I had no idea.
Like, so. How many times have people said Chris Gaines?
Not as much as you'd think,
really?
But it does happen.
No, really.
The big ones seem to be, people love telling me about the Joe Pesci record. That's the one that I get the most, I think.
Who's the guy in Papa Don't Preach video? What's his name?
Oh.
He played Madonna's dad. Oh, Danny Aiello.
Yes.
Oh, he's got an album.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I know he sings in Hudson Hawk.
Oh, it's terrible. Okay, so here. Thank you again, Tony, for being
thank
here.
Thank you.
Motion City Soundtrack, Tiny Stills, Bizarre Albums Podcast. Also, you produce, and sometimes we can hear you on Allison Rosen's, is it called Allison?
Allison Rosen is your new best friend. I'm the on-air producer of that show.
Tell her if she ever wants me to be her best friend, I'll come over.
All right.
you don't have to do that. But if you want to, go ahead.
I'll do that.
I'm going to play from the first album, a live version from an album called Live at 25. I'm going to play the song that we both like, Some of My Lies Are True.
Nice.
On Rock Solid. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
See, you wanna be friend of mine, see me all the time. You don't care what I do, but it all sounds said to me, hey, can't you see? It's just like I told you. I know you think that I've been stealing you a lot, and that I told you a joke, but sooner or later when you say I love you, some of my lies are true. I never told you that I was the one who said it just for fun. You know it too. So I'm so much on the telephone, I'm